Good morning, witches. This is the Witch Daily Show, coming to you from New Orleans, with host Tanya Brown. Our episodes span about 20 minutes long to give you just a little pop of magic. So, tune in, take a deep breath, and enjoy.
Good morning. It is March 12th, 2024. I am Tanya, and this is the Witch Daily Show. Today's episode is brought to you by Evolution of a Witch Prompt Journal. So let's get your day going with a little magic. Our quote of the day is, "I found I was more confident when I stopped trying to be someone else's definition of beautiful and started being my own." Remington Miller. So, we're talking about the bleeding heart plant, and this comes to us from folklore.com. "Memories of bleeding hearts in my mother's garden are vivid. Planting these beauties in my shade garden was a must when we moved into our home many years ago. Each year, I look forward to their spring blooms and the memories they bring. Delicate little white and red hearts dangling from their tender stems, blowing in the breeze in my yard are precious." Long ago, there lived a noble prince who tried in vain to win the heart of a very beautiful princess. The prince had brought the princess wonderful gifts from his travels far and wide, yet she had taken no notice of him. One day, the prince returned from a long journey with a very special gift to surely win the love of the princess. First, he presented her with two magical pink bunnies. The princess only sighed and barely looked at the little bunnies. The hopeful prince had another gift for the princess. He presented a pair of beautiful enchanted earrings. These she took happily, but declared she could not love him. Still, he can't bear to give up hope, and he makes another gift of slippers made from the finest silk. Again, the princess hardly noticed the prince's gifts, and now the prince was utterly heartbroken. He could try no more to win the heart of the princess. He rose up, pulled a dagger from his sheath, and stabbed himself in the heart. Princess was overcome by the dedication of the dying prince and his unending love for her. She realized too late that she loved him also. "Alas," she cried out, "I have done wrong. My own heart is broken also. I shall bleed for my prince forevermore, and her heart bleeds to this very day." And that is a very lovely little legend of the bleeding heart. All right, moving into some headlines. This comes to us from ScienceDirect.com. "The occult goes underground. Rumor, rituals, and the everyday entrepreneurship of women in artisanal gold mining in Zimbabwe." This is interesting. So this is a new paper that was published. Let's see when it was published. March 2024. It's in the Extractive Industries and Societies paper. "This paper examines the shifting ritual practices and perspectives of women in artisanal gold mining in Zimbabwe, framing out argument within the context of rumor and mining frontiers. We use the history of everyday life to illuminate the changing dynamics of women in post-colonial artisanal mining settlements. We bring the existing historiographies of popular occult economics, gender, and mining landscapes into the conversation with one another. We reconstruct the shifting spiritual world of women from oral interviews and ethnography collected during fieldwork, coupled with newspaper and social media stories of rituals in mining areas across Zimbabwe. We focus on the everydayness of rituals and their impact on women, while opening new conversations about gendered lives in informal mining communities, challenging scholarship that limits women to a single narrative of being polluters of the mines. We contend that women are central to understanding the ritual life of artisanal gold mining." That is so fascinating. It's really interesting how they're making connections between genders and the occult and rituals of how women survive in the mines. And I think this is a very cool way to demonstrate how occultism and ritual have always been about survival. And yeah. I'm going to have a link to this in the link tree if you want to read the paper in great detail. So I'll have that for you. All right, witches, I'm going to throw this over to our moon correspondent. And after this break, we will talk more.
Hello to all of my astro friends. This is Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, coming at you with your daily moon mantra for Tuesday, March 12th. The waxing crescent moon moves from impulsive Aries to drag its feet Taurus today. Here, the moon squares Pluto. We could be feeling like we're up against a very strong power dynamic today. It can be difficult to make decisive moves when we feel powerless, but cowering in a corner is not an option. The square to Pluto can be somewhat discombobulating as we navigate this power structure. The key is to go slow and feel out where you still have room to grow and move. Don't allow the situation to dampen your spirit. Even if you don't feel like you have much strength or potential in this moment, that doesn't mean you have none. Use what you have to the best of your ability. Tomorrow is another day. Your daily moon mantra is, be careful when swimming in a sea of other people's expectations. Many have drowned in that journey. This has been your daily moon mantra with Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, signing off and reminding you that you are in charge of your own destiny.
Attention, witches! This is Nina Moreau broadcasting a special alert from the Grimoire Society. We ask that witches please remember to subscribe to the new monthly newsletter. While we love psychically sending you every spell, recipe, penny dreadful, and conjure advice that we have, spirit representatives have asked that we cease clogging up the ether. We have contracted a special team of messenger pigeons to deliver your monthly newsletter directly to your doorstep. For only $5, you can sign up for this elusive serial at www.thegrimoiresociety.com. Remember, this notice is for witches only. If you are not a witch and have somehow come across this broadcast, you will forget all that you've heard in 3, 2.
All right, so we have a question from one of our listeners, Shannon. Shannon writes, advice please. I have been stressing out a lot lately. Can anyone suggest a calming ritual? Thank you in advance. So Lilith shared one. She says, I do this 3-3-3. I do a 3-3-3 meditation timer on my phone. I get a glass of water, sit, set the timer for 3 minutes. The first 3 minutes, I sit and sip the water slowly. Think about only the things in the room. The sounds, the smells, the taste of water, the chair under you. Keep your brain in the room for 3 minutes. Reset 3 minutes and stand. Feel your feet on the floor and slowly move your body. Maybe circle your neck, stretch, wave in the air, whatever feels good. Keep your feet flat on the floor. Reset timer. 3 minutes sitting and full meditation. No words in the brain, your breath moving in and out, your feet on the floor, energy flowing down and out. It helps me especially when I'm going into anxiety overload or just need a little mental break. It only takes 10 minutes total. I love that. And honestly, I kind of feel like you could just try it whenever, and maybe not necessarily when you're in an anxiety situation. I feel like that would just be a really good morning routine sort of meditation. Thanks for sharing, Lilith. Nat says, I do a short meditation where I focus on deep, even breaths. 4 counts inhale, 4 counts exhale. While I try to isolate parts of my body, muscles, by tightening those muscles for 1 or 2 beats, then relaxing them. I start at my head and work my way down to the floor. I also try to get a change of scenery if I can. For example, if I'm near a door, I might step outside for about 20 seconds. And then she says, passion flower tea also helps me. Yes, I've heard this from people that passion flower tea is kind of a good valerian root substitute. Teresa says, I have a meditation that I will do to calm myself in which I envision myself as a tree. I sense my roots deep down in the earth and I use those to draw up calmness and send down all my stress. Likewise, I pull down the warm love of the universe into my crown and release the worry. I will practice deep breathing while I do this. Deborah says, besides all the great pieces of advice, and this is not a ritual, but you might find valerian root, which is an herbal capsule. It stinks like old sweat socks, but it's calming, and some people even use it for insomnia. Yes, I love valerian root. Kat says, how much time do you have? My absolute favorite way to de-stress is to take a walk or a hike on a nature trail. You'll be tense when you get there, but just take a few several deep breaths when you arrive amongst the trees. Pay attention to things around you. Are there birds? What kind? Do they notice you? Squirrels? Do you see any special plants? New growth? Your mind shifts out of things that has it worried and opens up to this moment. Yes, you can 100% do this while walking with friends or family. Your senses can take in nature even if you're chatting with someone, and often it's safer to not go alone. If you have access to a quiet spot outside and it's not too cold, just sit, and this will accomplish the exact same thing. But when I'm really stressed, the walking in nature meditation is just more effective. I always tell my family I'm there for both physical and spiritual health. I love that. All right, and we have a witch win from listener Deborah. Deborah says, I had hip surgery a week and a half ago. With this bitter cold weather, we have water dripping everywhere upstairs and downstairs so the pipes won't freeze. My dear husband always sets the drip, and the downstairs is mostly his domain. I had taken my pill and was already in bed, probably about 1 a.m., and I had this strong message to go downstairs and check the water. I did not want to use my hip surgery. But I slowly crept downstairs anyhow to find the big sink that we never use with the plug tightly in and the water so full that the surface was convex at the very top of the sink. In just a few more minutes, the water would have gone all over and ruined our beautiful cherry wood floors, and we wouldn't have realized until the next morning, assuming he even went down there. I have never done anything like this before, so listen to yourselves, witches. It's a great witch win. Learning to trust our instincts and to trust those moments of intense, maybe I should just go look, is really, really powerful. And I'm so happy that you were able to save your beautiful cherry wood floors. That was a wonderful witch win. All right, witches, we are wrapping up this episode of the Witch Daily Show. We have a shout out for listener Tara. Tara, you loyal transcendent fire dragon. Liz F., you sophisticated witch. April Reinhardt, you scholarly badass sunfish. And Dancing Crone, you fancy hospitable seer. Thank you for so much for being Patreon supporters. I really appreciate it. And today our card pull is Red Flag from the Roast Iconic Oracle. No matter how often you try to bleach the red flags white, they only turn back to red. You have been warned. Now pull another card. All right, witches. That's all I've got for you today. Kind of a short episode, but it's just how it panned out. Don't forget any books, decks, headline sources, anything we referenced today can be found in the podcast episode description or witchpod.com. And we'll talk again tomorrow.
Witches, we hope you have a wonderful day, full of joy and gentleness and confidence. Links for this week's episodes, our website, Patreon, along with a free daily card pull can be found at witchpod.com. One stop for everything we talk about. Now, take one more deep breath and have a great day.